Welcome to a little show we're calling Pimp My App. Now, okay, so it's a little on the fun side, but the concept is we go out and we find applications that need a little bit of help. They're good. They're good applications, but either there's some functionality that can be added or maybe some design work can be added, and we assist developers in understanding how to improve their applications. Joining me in this endeavor are my designer, Tim Adlin, and my developer, Hans Hughley. Well, thanks for joining us. Now, I think we've got an interesting project here. A while back, someone wanted me to take an application that some ISV had written and demo it. And I took a look at the application. I understood, technically, it did some pretty good stuff. But I said, God, visually on screen, it really didn't quite have the right oomph to do a compelling demo in front of an audience, especially with my VP. So I think we should take this application and look at working up some design concepts and helping them add a little bit of flair to their application. It's just a little teeny web app that runs on a pocket PC mobile device, so there's some limitations involved in that whole model, but I think there's also some capabilities to show what's possible even with that small form factor.
Okay.
Now, Tim, I've already sent you the initial screenshots of the application, and I understand you've actually worked up a couple of thoughts already on what you think it could look like.
Yeah, I've taken a kind of cursory glance at this, got some ideas together. It's a good application that they've developed out, but I think we can take it to that next level.
Okay, let's take a look.
All right. So what we have here is the first screen of the Transpara mobile application. And what they're doing are bubbling up data from different regions around the country that are explaining the data behind the KPIs.
This sort of screen screams to me this is just a developer that understands HTML tables.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of really rich data that we have in this application, but it's being presented in a way that, well, could use a little help. There's a couple little functionality issues that I'm seeing here, and, you know, some aesthetic issues as well. So I think with a little bit of thought, we can really jazz this thing up and get it to be a much more functional, usable, and excellent application. So we have our standard tables here with standard blue links, kind of monotone color. Again, you know, not a real great use of real estate space that we have here. Lots of rich data, but I think better ways that we could interact with it. So what I've done is taken a gigantic step back and taken a look at, well, we're looking at information based on localities, so let's put this in a map so we can graphically understand really what we're talking about. So we have them grouped by local locality. We also have, you know, dots showing their status, and we've also added different tabs to access information, as well as a standardized navigation, which we see on the bottom.
So essentially trying to put everything on this one screen to allow a person to immediately get a good overview of what's going on.
Exactly. You know, be able to access information immediately and very clearly. That's my hope, anyway. Hopefully, you know, maybe use popovers and things of that nature to help bubble up information more quickly and more directly. In such a way, I thought the map metaphor with these sorts of pointers made a little bit more sense than list views. And then as you get deeper into it, you start bubbling up more and more information. So rather than getting deeper and deeper into multiple screens, we're basically dealing with one map with multiple overlays. As well, you know, what we saw previously were a couple graphs. What I thought what might be good is to enhance those graphs with, you know, more rich data and better display of that data as well. So that takes care of our demo.
So I sure hope that the Sporting Commission doesn't do a testosterone test on this application, because you sure pumped that thing full of steroids. One issue that comes out immediately to me is that a lot of the stuff you're doing here with these 3D maps and stuff like that don't usually translate over well to a pocket PC device. You've got a more limited capabilities application can do, and especially since the original application was a web-based application, you really can't do 3D maps like this on a straight Jane HTML sort of thing. Okay. You're needing ActiveX controls, or right. better yet, you're needing Silverlight to do something like that with, which isn't quite an option yet. So I think we need to take a couple steps closer to more of a straight HTML concept and try to work with HTML basically with some graphics, some images, and mostly focusing on the structure of the information on the page rather than taking and pretending you're a full-blown laptop PC with a kick-ass graphics card in and stuff
like that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. So the idea of bubbling up the information to higher levels and making it easier to access is the way to go.
Yes.
However, we need to take a step back and really look at the capabilities of the platform that we're working
on. And limitations of the platform. I think
that's
more the point.
All right, fair enough.
Well, I've already been in contact with Michael Saucier, who's the CEO of Transpara, and he's pretty excited about the project.
Good.
So I think what we need to do is take and regroup and come up with a couple more ideas that can explain a little bit closer what's going on, and then set up a meeting with Michael and show him my ideas and see where we go from there. Michael, I think we've got a really good opportunity here. My team is putting together this special show. We're going to take and select different applications and identify ways in which perhaps either through functionality or through design or graphics, we can maybe pump them up a notch. And looking at your application, it has wonderful functionality, but I think from a design standpoint, it could use some improvement. Now I've got Tim Adlin is my designer, and Hans Hubley is my programmer, and I'm just kind of a little bit of everything, but we'd like to help you out and work with you on taking your application up a level. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a great idea. First of all, we're just a bunch of engineers trying to put this app together against customer needs, and we've been concentrating on features and not really the look and feel and more of the ergonomics, and so it really appeals to me.
Geeky programmers trying to design.
Wing nuts, basically.
So, maybe you can help feed us in as exactly what it is your application is trying to do and who your customers are.
Okay. Well, I started Transpara in 2005 to meet what I perceived as an emerging need within the process and utility industry, and that is access to decision support data on any device. Now, you can see what's happening in the consumer web, and it's bleeding over into the businesses as well. People need their data even if they're not at their desk. They're asked to be part of decisions and support it in a meaningful way, and to do that, they have to have good, solid data at their fingertips. So we're basically filling the gap of putting key performance metrics, or KPIs, key performance indicators, in people's hands so that no matter where they are in the world, they can participate in a meaningful way in dialogue and problem solving.
Cool. Tim's actually worked up what he thinks is some initial design concepts. So maybe we should take and walk through your site, looking at the current pages, what they currently look like, and then Tim can take and feed in the blanks and discuss how he thinks we could take and improve upon it.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Absolutely. Great. So what we have up here is a screenshot of the initial homepage. We have a set of links, nicely branded, but we're also finding some of the main functionality falling below the fold. We have a large section over here, which is a little bit underutilized. Right now, everything is very monotone, so nothing is really standing out as potential problems, good things that are going on. So we really would like to bubble up a little bit more information and take a little bit better use of this space. Mm-hmm. So what we've come up with is breaking down the one-column format into a two-column format, bringing the main filters up to the top section here, so you're only seeing the information that you're really particularly concerned about. In this instance, you would be only looking at things that are checked red or critical. We bubbled up information on who to contact as the first line of defense, and are trying to use the areas a little bit more economically. So does this make sense to you?
So yeah, I like the idea of bubbling up information. It makes great sense to me. But I see here that you've got just a space for a few filters, and we could have up to a dozen or so different check marks that might show up there. It'd be kind of tough to fit in the real estate. And the other thing is, the idea of bubbling up information really appeals to me. But the customer sets whether they organize it by region or by role or by something else. And in fact, region role are just two ways out of an infinite number that they could choose. And so it's going to be, we're going to have to come up with something that's data-driven, that's going to understand maybe how they've configured it and bubble up that information. But I like the concept tremendously.
Okay, excellent. That makes a lot of sense. Why don't we go on to the next page? We can quickly go through. This is the second page where we're in the same format, but I think we have basically the same issues. And here's the information that you can see that we had flipped up to the top in that top-end navigation. So on the next slide, another example of where we once again have bubbled up important information. I hear you on having to remove the filters because of the issues that you described earlier. But once again, a little bit better use of space, including that top-hand navigation, mm-hmm. And not taking up as much vertical space on the top with
right.
consistent information.
Right. I think what you've got here is a separation. It's clever between the data that you're looking at and the way in which the data is formatted. And so that appeals to me as well. I'm not sure how to actually implement that right now, but I like the idea of navigation for data content and maybe formatting as mm-hmm. two separate things. That's a clever bit.
Great, good. Once again, the before, so to speak, we have the information on the responsible person plus the CTG fuel details in this particular instance. When we go to the next slide. In this case, what I thought was important was the actual information here. So tried to collapse this header information so you can click over to the contact information. Mm-hmm. We had mm-hmm. seen that before in previous screens, so mm-hmm. I thought that information could be collapsed here. Had smaller links to go ahead and go directly out to the maps and the trend graphs. So this information was pulled up a little bit mm-hmm. higher so you can directly access it.
So again, this is another separation of the data from the formatting. And so it looks to me like maybe these links really belong in this kind of a nav bar. Mm. And then we can click on different views, which is what these are, and the data would be formatted differently for the user, whether it's a bar chart or a line graph or mm-hmm. some type of a map. So
that absolutely makes sense. That's a really good idea. Let's take a look at that for our next iteration. Here's the KPI map for the CTG fuel, basically indicating problem areas, areas that are offline, in need of attention, etc. On my next slide, what I wanted to do was, right now we're looking at things pretty much in two dimensions, and what I wanted to do was add a third dimension, which would be importance. You could assign weight to different areas. These could be geological size, it could be just importance, etc. So I wanted to add one third variable in there to make the data a little bit more rich.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So these things are called tree maps, and we've seen them in sites like smartmoney.com and other places, and this is just a great idea. There is more data underneath each one of these KPIs, and I really like this. I'm going to take this back to the developers and see if they can try and incorporate the tree map concept to add that third dimension. That's a good idea.
Excellent. I think we just have a couple more screens. Graph view, very straightforward, but it's my idea that we might be able to bubble up the information a little bit more robustly. These are two graphs. This would be a smaller version and a larger version. And once again, trying to add a third dimension of information here to make what you're viewing a little bit more robust. And mm-hmm. because we're working with such a small form factor, really cram as much information in there that we can.
Right. So that's a really pretty graph, and I like this. I like the three-dimensional kind of heat map graphs that show the additional dimension. I'm going to have to seriously look at that, but from my use cases with my customers, I know what they need is some readily actionable information, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a little bit tough on this form factor to go from a 3D graph like this to taking some kind of action. Mm-hmm. Whereas on a 2D graph, you can kind of see immediately, oh, I'm high here, I need to do some action on that fuel. It's really hard to know what to do here. It's a great graph, it shows an overall picture, but maybe we can find a different way of bubbling up that same information.
Okay, that makes sense. I see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think the last screen that we had here was just to bring a little personality to your contact information, and as well, for security reasons and all sorts of other issues, it's always good to have a face with a name. So, just thought I'd propose
that. It's a good idea, and maybe we can pull that from Active Directory or something. So that's a place to store it.
There you go. So that's essentially the overview of the way that I was thinking about it. What I'm hearing is that you're interested in exploring the bubbling up of information, and using the space a little bit better, and really diving into the data a little bit more distinctly. Does that make sense?
It makes great sense. I mean, as you pointed out when we first talked about it, the app does lack a little bit of immediately actionable information right at the top level. You have to kind of drill down to find something to work on. And so it makes sense to really do a couple of things that you've suggested. One is bubble up that data, make it actionable. Another is maybe separate out things into navigation versus display format.
Right.
And I really like this idea. I'm going to take it all back to the developers and really drill into it and maybe come back in 4 or 6 weeks and show you something that we've got.
That sounds great. Excellent.
Well, thanks, Michael. I'm glad you enjoyed what we've done here, and I'm looking forward to seeing this project progress. I mean, being able to do stuff, cool stuff, especially on a small form factor like a mobile pocket PC,
yeah.
I think is really exciting because, there are limitations there you need to pay attention to, and sometimes those limitations have the biggest challenges and the biggest rewards.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks. We'll see you in a couple weeks, Michael.
Thanks.
It's been 6 weeks. We understand you guys have been doing some work, and so I'd like to hear an update on where we are with the project.
Thanks, Robert. We've really had a lot of fun working with this. The ideas that came back from our last meeting, I took back to development, and we had several meetings, and got a lot of pushback from guys that just didn't want to do the work. I mean, so I had to kind of let them think about it for a while and prototype it.
Their problems or issues?
Well, they said, look, the app already works. We're not trying to cater. It's not a consumer app. It's a business app. Why would we want to change it just to make it look better? And I said, look, it's not just about making it look better. It's making the navigation more logical. It's making the data richer. It's making it more actionable. So, after a while, I kind of wore them down, and then they agreed to work on this project with us. So then we mocked up some things and sent it back to Tim. We've gone back and forth a couple of times on email, so I guess I'm here to see what Tim's made of all that.
Okay, Tim, so you guys had some chance to work things out?
Yeah, they sent over some really great ideas. I was able to incorporate them into some of the thinking that I had been doing. So, let's fire it up and I'll kind of walk you through it.
Okay.
First off, you'll see this homepage is significantly different looking. And this is what Michael and his team presented to us, basically this really great idea. They took the idea of bubbling up the information in a much deeper and richer level, so you can really take action immediately on the items that you're looking for. We went away from the two-column scenario that we had before, but once again, using this real estate in a much better fashion, in my opinion. We took the idea of a breadcrumb, and you'll only see one a little bit here, but really have the idea of top-level iconography and navigation separated out from the content underneath. Really try to, once again, tighten up that header as much as possible to get as much above the fold in this limited space that we have.
Now, Michael, looks like Tim probably didn't hear everything we said last time, because I'm still seeing that filter. He's that living number of filters up there.
I think he likes that. I think he's just seeing if I was paying attention last time. But in fact, we're still trying to figure out how to do that in a data-driven manner, but I'm not sure it's going to scale on the horizontal space.
Yeah. So this is the second page where before the information set had just reset to the subsets. That's a lot of sets in one sentence. But now basically what we're doing is having a tree view where you can see the hierarchy of where we are. Once again, this is a better example of that breadcrumb navigation. And then we have the top level. Once again, on this screen, we can see now we are three levels deep. have a slightly tighter grid and labeled a little bit more specifically.
And so now this second screen is actually, you've clicked on Xton in the first screen.
Correct. You click on Xton.
And this is showing the details about Xton.
Okay. Correct.
So I like this because it shows the, on the breadcrumb, it shows you that you're actually in context at the Xton scorecard, and so you know where in the hierarchy you are. So that makes better sense. I also like the fact that you've got some way to see that Xton Long Point and Summer Point as assets roll up into this region northeast and have some effective overall status, and you can see the components and how the components bubble up into the region. So I like both of those things. Still going to have the same problem with the filters, but the breadcrumbs, they make great sense. The kind of separation between the data and its display, that's, I think, a super idea.
Really, really trying to drive home the idea of navigability and the hierarchy of really where you are.
Right.
And I'm glad that this is working out for you.
Sure.
All right, but the next one. So once again, we've clicked in for further details. We clicked in the CDG1 fuel. Now we're seeing further information. Once again, tighten up the grids, click on to low. Then what we had, we went back to the standard, two-dimensional graph, as we had discussed last time. But this time, my idea was to present more of the graph, a larger set of data. And then by clicking on regions in the graph, if we go to the next slide, it'll bring up a larger view. So you can tunnel into the information that you're trying to look for to make it actionable as we
have. So that's like a zoom or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it'd be able to go one step further.
Mm-hmm. And what about this page?
Now on this page, the idea is by clicking define range, doing a sort essentially on this information, this expands out. My idea is using some fairly simple JavaScript to be able to define the range set a little bit more custom. At this point, below the fold, you have the graph underneath it. So this would lay on top of it and take away the need for having two pages.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good idea.
Excellent. So that's where we are.
Okay. Well, I guess what I've got to do is take this iteration back to my team and tell them where we are, how far we've gotten against the spec, and give them some new ideas here. I think we're really converging on something that could really work for our customers.
Excellent. Have you encountered any development challenges in trying to work this project through?
So last time we had this grandiose idea. We thought, okay, all these great ideas coming from Tim. What's the natural evolution? We should really just embrace Silverlight. It just came out. We thought our customers would love this. One-click deploy, nothing's going to happen. We looked into it, and Silverlight's not available for mobile yet. Now,
right,
we did
right.
see it at Mix last year. It was Major League Baseball. It looked great. We thought, but it's not ready. It's not ready for public consumption yet. So that's really the only thing that we ran into. The rest of this, we're just C#, ASPX. We're making pages on the fly. We're formatting it for the target screen because the screen tells us on the way in what size it is.
Right.
So architecturally, we're in great shape. We didn't have to change anything to incorporate Tim's ideas.
Great. Nice. So maybe another 4 or 6 weeks.
Yeah,
maybe done.
That sounds good. See you in the fall.
Yeah, I'll set up a meeting. We'll take a look at what the final project looks like.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Michael, we're now at our final meeting. I understand your application is basically finished, and I think we would love to see what you finally ended up with.
Well, I'd love to show you. So let's maybe look up on the screen here. I'll project my handheld device up to the screen, so it'll be easier for everybody to see. And let's just put that here. So let's go ahead and minimize IE and get the desktop in the background. So what we've done here is taken into account all the stuff that Tim and I and Hans have done over the summer, and we've built it into the application and actually rolled it into a release candidate. So what we're looking at here is essentially an almost final release. It's feature complete, it's code complete, and we're in QA. At this point, what you'll see is about 8 out of the 10 major suggestions that have come from our effort have been incorporated into the application, and one of them is actually on the roadmap. We still think it's the right thing to do, but we couldn't fit it in for timing reasons or whatever, technology availability, a couple of combinations there. And then one of them we chose not to do, but you'll see that as we go through. So here's the top level menu. It looks almost exactly like Tim's final mock-up. I'm going to go ahead and take
that filters thing.
That's right, I remember. So let me go ahead and take the frame out of the IE so we get back a little bit of extra vertical space. And that gives us the final kind of customer-oriented look for the app.
Looks great.
Thank you. Thank you. I think we're pretty happy with it. We extended a couple of the other concepts that you had and really bubbled up the status definitions as well. So you can see right on the front page, even if you don't know what the colors mean, you can see it's low, 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 good, high, et cetera, high, high, that kind of stuff. But what you'll see here is that top level with the actionable data. Each bar represents a percentage roll-up of the KPI statuses at that level and below. So at the very top, we rolled up the entire website. So this all views bar is actually all of these bars rolled into this one. And now if I go down into region Northeast, what you'll find is that it is a combination of Exton, Long Point, and Summer Point, as we discussed over the summer. But now the roll-up that you showed is here. So we've got the all scorecards kind of generic. It's got to be data-driven, right? So this is region Northeast from the breadcrumb. Mm-hmm. It's all the scorecards. It's right here. And then each scorecard is here. So now as I go into Exton, you'll see some of the other stuff that you suggested. A tightening up of the of the scorecard. A little bit better use here, and you'll see another line that we added in, this kind of how the filter works. So we took your filters, and we put them on this filter-looking icon up here. So on the top left, you'll see now why we couldn't really put them across the top, because we've got not just the status filters that come with the app of what we want to see, but also we've got these grouping filters down here that show you want to organize them by scorecard, or by status, or you want to organize the KPIs by customer-defined attribute. So here, if a customer had a bunch of different units, you know, then unit series might be one thing that they'd organize it by, and that would rearrange the scorecard and show unit series 1300, unit series 1400, etc. That's data-driven, so it needed to be on a page that could expand vertically instead of horizontally. So that was kind of the reason for that filter getting axed. But if we go back here and do a kind of a none, let's do a scorecard. It's organized by scorecard. Many different ways to slice and dice the data. And now you'll see we're at the lowest level, which is a scorecard. We go into a trend, but before I do that, I want to show you that we really separated out the data from the display factor. So now this is the scorecard factor. This is the KPI map view. So that's what we had before, and then here is a new view based on some discussion with customers called the bar chart view. So here is a way to show things that have limits, tanks and other things where you have a minimum or a maximum, and here you're seeing these guys are kind of overflowing their limits. And here we're showing, hey, there's some problems with your data set. Okay. You know, you should look into it because I can't display a bar chart, but we're going to clue you in and draw you into the solution. So somebody can look at that and say, oh, I know what to do. I know how to fix it. Let's look at the bar. Now let's look at the graph. Okay, we've done some changes to the graph. We also let you navigate two places from many places now instead of having to drill back up and back down. I could go straight to a graph from any one of these KPIs. We've collapsed it all onto one screen here so you see everything. You see everything you need, the timestamps, the ability to change ranges, to scroll back and forwards in time. Everything's here. We tightened up that top even further, so now we just take up one line for the logo, the date and the time. That's been great. We've made a context-sensitive information button, so now every page will tell you how it's defined. And so you can basically self-discover how the app is configured just by clicking on this without going back to the configuration side. You can see what the configuration, what the designer meant for you to see. So that's really about it. I mean, again, separated the data from the view. We've got a custom trend icon. We can send email. So now we can send somebody this link directly from our Pocket PC or Windows mobile device so that they can be brought into the context immediately. So let's say Hans is in Angola and I'm here in Houston and we need some help, but I know he's on a handheld. I can send him this link. He can pull up the same page and be talking to me about this activity on an offshore platform in Norway, even though he's in Angola and I'm in Houston. So we've got the same page because it's all web-based.
That's great.
So that's kind of it. I mean, we're very happy with the results. So far, we've deployed this out to about a dozen customers over the summer here, late summer, early fall, about 1,100 users of this new technology, and so far the feedback has been excellent. They really like the tightening up, they like the separation, and so philosophically, we're right on target.
That's great.
Great. And now, in the process of developing this, our key thing going into this was that your original version was simply data being thrown into IE in a table and junk like that.
Right.
And we felt it needed to kind of have this more visual layout and design assistance to it. Do you think that works for you really well?
I think it does. I mean, we really tried to figure out how to make the best of the Pocket platform, mm-hmm. because it's limited. It doesn't do AJAX, it doesn't do some other things. But we also have to take into account that some of our users are using non-Microsoft devices. And so we had to keep it pretty simple what we're going to do within the web page so that it would render on other lesser devices. So what we're able to do when we know that we've got IE is things like this. We can bring up, let's say, the same app on the desktop, and it's going to look a little bit different. So here, you've got the same breadcrumbs, you've got the same navigation, but you'll see there's more data. When you mouse over something, you get a mouse over. You get a little AJAX behavior here so that you can bring up the details. You can bring up the trend from here. You get, of course, more real estate used on the trend. Because we know that we're communicating with IE, we can put more data out there. Mm-hmm. So since we're a server-side app, we're able to take that user agent header out of the IE request and say, oh, you're a Pocket device, you're a BlackBerry, you're an iPhone, you're a desktop device.
And do something different. Different presentation model.
Model based on what that first parsing does. You know, what kind of device is it? Okay, we either dumb down the response or we man up the response.
Mm-hmm. Now, from a designer perspective, do you see the value enough that you're actually going to be hiring designers on your team, or are you going to be hiring out the design team, or does actually your programmers do design from now on?
Well, Tim has actually accepted an offer. but honestly, I think that we see the value of design clearly. I mean, what we did is we took the Aidlinized iconography and we propagated it throughout our literature, white papers, our website, our new clothing line, right? Everything is all about the new look and feel. So we're pretty happy with how this all turned out. And while we're still just, you know, chemies and engineers and software guys, I mean, we very much value the elements of design, and our customers have benefited greatly from it.
So, Michael, I mean, I'm assuming you kind of saw through the processes the value of taking a slightly different approach and having a designer provide input to your developers. Now, for a company like yours, how do you think you would have addressed that issue if we didn't have Tim volunteering to give you assistance like that?
Well, as a small ISV, I mean, we really don't have the resources necessary to staff up and keep people full-time who would do this kind of thing. So we've derived great benefit from it. And so if we didn't have Tim, we'd probably have to go outside, find ourselves a quality consultant or existing designer who could come in and work with our developers, people like Hans, who then would realize some of the sketches and things that we get from them. So I guess we'd have to go outside for a part-timer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, getting people consultants is quite standard for taking heavy small design, even for developers and stuff like that, to have some of the stuff that's not one of your core competencies, and you don't need to be a core competency, but you do know people who it is their core competency, that sort of stuff.
That's exactly right. I mean, we benefited from the result, there's no doubt about it, but we just couldn't afford to really staff up on a full-time basis.
Great. Well, Michael, I really enjoyed having this project and working with you on this, on our first pilot project for this episode, and I look forward to seeing your application move forward in the future and seeing it everywhere.
Thank you very much. It's been great. We enjoyed it.
Well, I think that went really well. Michael seemed really pleased with what you gave him. And frankly, I think the application looks a lot better because of your work, Tim.
Oh, thanks.
You know, an important takeaway is to understand, okay, what do we think that Michael and Transpara learned from this project? And probably more importantly, what did we learn from it?
Well, it really seemed like he understood where we were coming from with the necessity to have consistent navigation up at the top of the page so it was very accessible, as well as to bring up the information to a higher level to once again make it more discoverable. I think those two things were probably the biggest takeaways for them. For me as well, really understanding the platform and its, well, in this particular case, the limitations that we had,
I mean, when working with Transpara, did you have any difficulties in communicating to them and getting to understand what you're wanting to do?
No, you know, they were very open to ideas. They understood the language that I was using. There was some interpretation, and I'm glad that I was able to, you know, present my my ideas visually, because I certainly think that that helped quite a bit.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoyed doing this project, and I'm looking forward to the next one. I can't wait to find out what that is, and I bet you can't either.